What's up, everybody? Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Michael Fabiano alongside the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And behind the glass, we're going to introduce our pal Nabil. What's going on, man?
Pretty hyped up for this slate of games this weekend. You know, we got Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. But Graham, we have some stuff to talk about. And this is a fantasy football podcast. I get it. But there's no way that I'm not talking about what happened last night.
Yeah.
Okay? The powers that be can get mad at me all you want. Number one, that was an awful football game last night. It was awful. Okay? From Mason Rudolph throwing four picks, overthrowing players. It went so far as Austin Siebert was shanking field goal attempts. I mean, in every aspect of that game, it was awful. And the way that it ended was an embarrassment to the National Football League, all right? We are employees here at the NFL, and we are told time and time again, protect the shield. Always protect the shield. What Myles Garrett did last night not only embarrassed the shield, but warrants at least a suspension for the rest of this season, Graham.
Yeah. Very serious on-field conduct, obviously. Last night by Garrett, you just hate to see it. I mean, regardless, no words that you and I have can really, like, you know, go further, I think, than what most people have said.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's just a total disappointment, total embarrassment for the Browns. And, you know, I think rightfully so. A lot of the Browns players came out after the game and said,
yep,
that this basically feels like a loss. And I think that's the right way to handle it, is even mm-hmm. though they did get their win against the Steelers, they haven't beaten the Steelers in a long time. They haven't had back-to-back wins all year. Mm-hmm. And now Myles Garrett's very, very selfish and very reckless actions on the field have everybody talking about, you know, what basically we shouldn't be talking about. And that's, you know, a back-to-back Browns win, albeit in a very ugly game.
You like can't do that. I mean, I've, you know, watched a little bit this morning, and I mean, I've even seen reports where, the agent for Mason Rudolph could file charges because he assaulted him.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy, okay, in Mason Rudolph, who just a few weeks ago, everyone in the world, okay, who watches the NFL was frightened for this kid because of the hit that he took and how he got knocked out. They had to take off his face mask, and that was the game where the cart was broken. They had to walk this poor kid off. And now you hit a dude in the head forcefully with his own helmet.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do it. You can't do it. We can't have this kind of behavior in the National Football League. It's inexcusable. So I feel we both agree that a suspension is coming, and it should be a very hefty suspension. And there could be some other people who are going to be affected by this as well, because he wasn't the only guy at fault, but he was the main violator. Let's just put it that way. Now, going to the game, James Conner was taken off the injury report this week. Okay, he had missed a couple of games due to the shoulder. Now, when a player's taken off the injury report, you're thinking, Graham, he's 100%. I mean, he's pretty close.
Right.
This is the guy who I can trust. He re-injured that shoulder very quickly in that game. Okay, and he actually admitted, allegedly, to Fox's Christina Pink that he wasn't even close to being healthy.
Right.
As a fantasy, and again, listen, I'm more concerned about a player's health than anything else, okay? Fantasy football, it is what it is. It's a hobby. It's fun. I'm more concerned about a player's health. But what annoys me is that when a team tells me, player's fine, he's so healthy that he shouldn't even be on the injury report. We don't need him on the injury report. And he clearly wasn't healthy. And that affected a lot of people in fantasy because four teams were on a bye and a lot of people had Jalen Samuels. And so thinking that James Conner was healthy and it was a Thursday night game, there were a lot of people out there who decided, well, I'm going to cut Jalen Samuels because I need a roster spot. I need to start somebody. I need to go off the waiver wire and grab somebody. James Conner was not healthy last night. And maybe, you know, first world fantasy problems, I feel a little bit betrayed by the fact that the Steelers certainly were not truthful about their injury report.
First world fantasy problems. Let's get that trending on Twitter. Let's get that hashtag trending.
I mean,
Twitter.
Honestly, no, don't you feel the same way?
No, I mean, what are you going to do? Look,
I mean, like, the NFL has rules. Like, these injury reports have to be truthful and forthcoming.
Right. It's true. I mean, at the same time, the NFL and the teams as a whole have done, in my opinion, a very poor job over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Actually, using the injury report, I mean, basically, since we've gotten rid of the probable tag, these teams have, like, pretty much no incentive to tell the truth about injuries. And we've seen this with almost every team at certain points. I mean, it's just a matter of how big or small the injury is and how relatively fantasy relevant the player is.
Yep.
You know, we've seen teams just manipulate these injury reports year over year now. And you know, at this point, they're kind of just a farce. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it, James Conner's clearly not 100%.
No.
Clearly not. And I don't think even taking him off the injury report, I still don't think we should have expected him to be 100%. But at the same time, re-aggravating the injury in-game is extremely frustrating that quickly.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah.
We just have to hope Connor's back healthy. You know, now he's got 10 days here to get this thing right, and maybe he'll be right after the...
He had more than that, and
Right. Obviously
he wasn't healthy. Yeah. Let's move on. Juju Smith-Schuster concussion. And hopefully he gets back on the field very soon, but concussions are scary. I'm not even going to talk about the fact that, you know, it wasn't a great fantasy night for most players. But, you know, Juju going down was a tough one. Deontay Johnson, that one was scary. Okay.
Right.
I feel like he didn't know where he was, and walking off the field, watching his ear dripping blood.
Well, that was just a completely dirty hit.
And Demarius Randall's a friend of mine, and I'm surprised at that. I'm surprised that his reaction was what it was, because it was clearly. I mean, Demarius could end up getting suspended too. I'm not sure, or at least heavily fined. We'll see. Unfortunately, again, these are some of the things that made this an ugly game. And not even talking about just like what happened on the field, actually when they were playing football. So hopefully Juju and Deontay are going to be back sooner rather than later from their injuries. Baker Mayfield has now scored 17 plus fantasy points in three straight games. Now last night, that touchdown pass that he threw late in the game to Steven Carlson, that was a prayer. Okay, Carlson made a hell of a catch in front of a Steelers defender, so obviously Baker benefited from that. Now, I've been pooping on Baker all season long, okay? And that's because, I mean, he hasn't really been great. Let's put it that way. He's been probably the biggest quarterback bust in fantasy football. Here's the thing. He's got Miami next week.
Yeah.
Then he's at Pittsburgh. Boy, that one's going to be... I don't know what's going to happen in that game. Myles Garrett won't be there.
Oh, sure. Boy.
Then he's got Cincinnati. Then he's at Arizona. So suddenly, Baker Mayfield, available in over 50% of leagues on NFL.com, based on the matchups, could end up being a viable option for you moving forward.
And this was the thing. I mean, their schedule to start the year was always difficult, and then it kind of got more difficult as the season went on. Their teams that they started playing, their defense started picking up and playing better. They played the Bills last week, and we always have a ton of respect for them. Obviously, had a ton of respect for the Steelers coming into this game, but you mentioned it. Their schedule gets a lot easier here coming down the stretch, so maybe some good signs coming for Beckham and Baker here. But
yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of Beckham, if you add Odell in like the first quarter, it's going to be one of those big OBJ nights. You know, you thought he had the touchdown, then he was down at the one. And oh, by the way, for us Nick Chubb owners, thanks, Freddie Kitchens. Give the ball to Nick Chubb. Don't need Baker sneaking it in.
I will say that is by far the best play call you can make there at first and goal from the half.
Not for me. for most people.
Just from a true football perspective, I'm very glad that they snuck that because they are just being just complete donkeys. Just keep running the same freaking Nick Chubb draw up in the middle.
So, and by the way, Nick Chubb, I mean, he was running into brick walls all last night, had a ton of touches, 73% of the snaps. Kareem Hunt had 54% of the snaps. And for the second straight week, Kareem Hunt had more fantasy points than Nick Chubb.
Yep. And this is, I think this is something because Kareem Hunt is coming in and taking in all the passing down work. Mm-hmm. And Nick Chubb is basically just turned into almost sort of like Marlon Mack. I mean, Marlon Mack does not see very many targets in the passing game. He gets 20 carries every single week.
Yep.
But it's just depending on if he scores those touchdowns. But you mentioned it. The schedule is about to get a lot easier here. I think Chubb is going to bounce back here in these next couple weeks because the volume is still there.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt, 8 targets, Nick Chubb, 1. We sort of expected that, but
I didn't expect Hunt to get, 25% target share. He's been around 25%
that high, but you expected him to see far more targets in a game than
course.
Nick Chubb, yes.
Yeah, I was not expecting, 7 to 8 targets. I was more expecting like 5 to 6 target range, but he clearly has a slightly higher ceiling than I think I expected.
Yeah, and then back to OBJ, 10 points, huge disappointment. He's now scored fewer than 11 points in 3 of his last 4 games, man. The schedule gets better, though, so hopefully...
And being tackled at the half-yard
line
last night.
And he also got targeted a ton. There was a couple of passes that Baker Mayfield threw, including one at the sidelines where OBJ was wide open, and Baker the ball like even behind the defender who had been beaten on the play.
And this is sort of the thing, Fabs, is like this is now 10 games where we've seen Baker and Beckham not be in sync. And, at some point... It might never happen this year, but the thing we can hang our hat on at the very least moving forward is this easier schedule. And, at least Beckham is getting the targets now. He's seen double digit targets in 3 straight.
Yep.
Jarvis Landry had another good game.
14.3 has now had double digits in 4 straight games. A guy that you can lean on. And next week, he's got revenge on his mind against the Fish.
Is it a revenge game when your team is tanking, though?
No, it's not.
When your ex-team's not trying.
Jameson Crowder revenge game, Ryan Fitzpatrick revenge game. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
So last night was an ugly game. It was an ugly ending to an ugly game. The fantasy production, clearly, from the guys that you wanted it from, James Conner wasn't there because he got injured. We're going to get some reports on him, hopefully, today or tomorrow. And then... Nick Chubb, 9.2 fantasy points. That's just not that great when you're talking about a guy who is an RB1 in a lot of fantasy leagues. And the Browns defense, this was the worst performance the Steelers defense has had in a long time from a fantasy perspective. 1 point, Cleveland, 16, 7 points allowed, 4 sacks, 4 interceptions.
Mason Rudolph, for as long as he's starting for the rest of the year,
dude,
just stream defenses against him.
He looked awful. Miami next week. Who are they playing next week? Pittsburgh has. I'm going to look it up right now. Let's see what their schedule is the rest of the way. They've got Cincinnati.
Oh, God.
The Cincinnati, then Cleveland, then Arizona.
We can go back to the Browns at least in week 13.
Buffalo and then the Jets. The Jets had 19 last week. All right, let's move on to the week 10 fantasy matchups. And we're back to 4 teams being on a bye. Last week we had Bye-mageddon with 6. Let's start off Atlanta and Carolina. Graham, let's look at the injuries.
Yeah, let's do it. Look, the most of the injuries we already know about on the Falcons side, Austin Hooper and Devonta Freeman will not play with their respective injuries this week. I'm not expecting Hooper back at least for a couple weeks. Freeman will probably be out at least another week.
Right.
Big news on the Saints side this week is their cornerbacks are extremely banged up. Most notably, Marshawn Lattimore has been sidelined all week with a hamstring injury. And this is just, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was wondering where you were going there.
I was looking at my Saints notes. My fault.
All good.
It's just the Falcons side here. Austin Hooper and Devonta Freeman are injured. And
Ryan should be okay.
Right. And I think that's going to open up a bunch of looks for Calvin Ridley. I think this is a really good spot for him to get right after really kind of 2 back-to-back bad games. I think if they kind of focus more on filtering the ball through Julio and Ridley in the spot, I think both of these guys are going to get right here.
Yeah, Brian Hill, I have him in as an RB2 because the volume should be there, and the matchup is really good. Carolina has struggled against the run all season long, so you can plug him into your starting lineups. As you mentioned, Calvin Ridley's been a disappointment. Hopefully he can bounce back this week. Any stock in Luke Stocker?
No. I think they're going to play Jaden Graham a little bit too, this rookie that they like a bit. I think without Hooper, it's just going to be a big game for Ridley and Julio. Hopefully. Fabs, is it just me or has Julio been just a little bit disappointing? He hasn't scored recently. The yardage ceiling hasn't been as high this year as we typically see. He put up 150 against Seattle. Mm-hmm. But he just hasn't gotten to the box here in the last 6 weeks. But he's been over 80 yards, nearly over 80 yards in four straight games. Yep. I think he's going to get in the box and have a huge game this week.
I like Kyle Allen as a streaming option. Atlanta's giving up over 24 fantasy points per game on the road to enemy quarterbacks, so get him in your lineup. DJ Moore is a must-start. Two straight 100-yard games playing Atlanta, and that bad defense, although it looked pretty good last week. We'll see which defense shows up. Curtis Samuel is also a good play. And Greg Olsen, who I was, you know, all stressed out about last week, strong game against Green Bay, still slow as molasses, although he could probably beat Jason Witten in a foot race. That's not saying very much, but the Atlanta Falcons gave up a big game to Jared Cook last week. So I believe that Greg Olsen will be a top 10 play, if for no other reason, and that position is just an absolute disaster.
Yeah, it helped that Greg Olsen got 10 targets last week.
That will help.
Yeah, and they the Panthers were trailing that whole game. Yep. But you mentioned it. He just cannot do anything after the catch at this point.
All right, my beloved Dallas Cowboys going to the Motor City to face the Lions. Injuries, Matt Stafford, he's already been ruled out for the game.
Right, Matt Stafford's already been ruled out for the game, so we get some clarity there for our Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones fantasy teams. Mm-hmm. Ty Johnson was in concussion protocol earlier this week, but he's actually out of it, so I think they're going to get Johnson back. And with Driscoll under center, man, I really have no confidence starting any Lions running back in this spot.
I kind of like J.D. McKissic.
Right. Just for the check down value.
Exactly. He's had 11 plus in two straight games. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to light the world on fire, but if I can grab a guy off the waiver wire and get 11, 12, 13 points from him.
Yeah.
I mean, you're happy with what Kareem Hunt's giving you, right? I mean, you're basically getting the same sort of thing. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, Dallas has always struggled, too, against receiving backs.
Fourth most receptions allowed to running backs this season.
Yeah, they've definitely struggled there in that spot. But, you know, with Driscoll under center, it's just like, what's the likelihood he scores a touchdown?
I know.
Just,
no. I'm going for the catches.
Yeah.
Give me your take on Golladay and Marvin Jones.
They're amazing. I mean, you
No, I know, but I mean, can you sit them this week?
It's a bet on talent play, because this Dallas team has done a really good job limiting production against receivers this year.
Stephon Diggs did nothing last week. Yeah.
Yep. They've given up the second fewest fantasy points to the position as a whole. They've done really good both at wide and in the slot. I think Golladay is probably my preferred start of the two, but man,
of course,
it's just with Driscoll under center. I mean, Golladay needed that long contested catch to kind of save his bacon last week, and Marv Jones was fine. It's just, you know, against Dallas on the, you know,
I want to get a little take on a situation that I'm going to be looking at here.
Okay.
I've got Golladay and I've got Joe Mixon, and I could start one.
I'd start Mixon.
See?
I'd go with the
See?
Touches.
Now if Matthew Stafford is the quarterback,
you go Golladay. Yeah,
this is what I'm saying. Jeff Driscoll is a big downgrade. This is a good thing for the Cowboys defense. You can put them into your lineup this week as well. Amari Cooper, he should be fine this week.
Yeah, Amari Cooper, man. The dude's been a warrior all year. He's been banged up all season long. He gets his couple days off during Wednesday and Thursday. He'll get a little work in today on Friday, and he'll be right to go.
Yep.
This is just a huge spot for Dallas, man. They've got to win this game.
I'm so
on the road. They've got to win the game.
Dak is a great start, which he's been in all but two of his games this season.
Yeah, Dak Cooper, Zeke, and Gallup, just get him in your lineups.
This is a team that has played down to the competition at times. I mean, we lost to the Jets, okay? We lost to the Jets. So we should be – sorry, I say we. I've been a fan since I'm 8 years old. We should beat this team, and this should be a good fantasy week for the Cowboys, especially Ezekiel Elliott, who has been – I mean, he's not been a bust, but he hasn't been Zeke this season, but Detroit is getting shredded by running backs every single week. Michael Gallup's a good play if you need a tight end. I mentioned Jason Witten. He's slow, but he's still getting some targets in that offense. Moving on, Jags at Colts. Now, the big news here, Nick Foles makes his return as the Jaguars' starting quarterback. Any other injuries that we're looking at?
Yeah, Nick Foles is back, baby. He's taken over for Minshew Mania, and Jacoby Brissett will be back. He's going to start after missing one game with that knee injury. It's huge for the Colts, because last week we saw at home against the Dolphins, Brian Hoyer just clearly can't move this offense in the same way that Brissett does. This Colts team right now, with the way they're built, without T.Y. Hilton, who's not going to play this week. He's still out with a calf injury.
Yep.
Without T.Y. Hilton, they're going to get Devin Funchess back maybe. But the way they're built right now, they need a quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over. And Brissett is just, I mean, he's not turning the ball over, playing extremely well this season. You know, outside of really like outside of like Marlon Mack and maybe Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron, there's really not a lot to like on this Colts side, though, even though Brissett is back this week.
Yeah, and Doyle has been a little bit banged up as well. I look at the injury report, he was back to practice on Thursday, so it looks like he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's been missing now, like Wednesday practices for the last couple weeks.
Eric Ebron got a lot of targets last week, so if you had to pick between the two, although Doyle still gave you double digits.
Right. I don't think you can ever really pick between the two and get it right.
Dart
I'm just
throw.
Being honest with you. It's a
dart throw.
Exactly right. It's okay. A dart throw. I will say, you did know, Ebron got 12 targets last week against the Dolphins and played a season-high 61% of the snaps. I think that's just basically two things. It was the matchup against the Dolphins. You want to kind of put your tight ends on the field and kind of play that two tight end look, but also the Colts didn't really have any receivers out there last week.
Yeah, and I mean, no T.Y. this week, Zach Pascal.
No Paris Campbell this week.
Chester Rogers, right. So Brissett is someone I'd probably fade.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that.
I think
now, would you play Foles this week, though?
Yeah, and here's an interesting streamer this week. Do you play Foles or Kyle Allen?
Kyle Allen.
I think I like
Kyle Allen.
I like Foles a little bit more.
Do you? All right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think I just, you know, Jags weapons out wide. I think we'll see.
You're getting Dede back this week. I'm very interested to see what happens there with Dede Westbrook, because remember, he was the Jags wide receiver that everyone was on in the industry in the preseason, because Foles seemed to have a good rapport with him, throw into the slot. And now the two are going to be back together. DJ Chark is clearly a really good start still, because he gets into the end zone. People forget his first touchdown of the year came with Nick Foles.
That was a gorgeous throw.
And
too.
Not Gardner Minshew, exactly. Yeah. So Chark is a play. Westbrook is a sleeper this week, no question about it. I think Chris Connolly is sort of off the radar at this point. I'd fade Brissett, as you mentioned. Marlon Mack is a guy you're going to be starting each and every week. And Leonard Fournette, duh.
You know, it's funny. We sit here and we say it's a dart throw between Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle. Mm. But, you know, with no Evan Ingram this week, no Austin Hooper, George Kittle most likely won't play. Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron are like top 10 plays.
It's crazy.
It's just insane. Yeah.
All right. Bills, Dolphins in the Ryan Fitzpatrick revenge game. The tour continues. Injuries here. We already know, obviously, Preston Williams is out for the season. Anything else on either side?
Nope. Not many injuries. The Bills have been pretty healthy, I will say, on the offense side of the ball. And, and you know what? This is another good spot for Josh Allen and John Brown and all these guys to get going.
Yep.
But, Fabs, I have no confidence that Josh Allen can connect on a deep ball with John Brown, because his deep throws this year, I mean, he's been the worst quarterback throwing the ball 20-plus yards downfield. But, again, the matchup is great.
Yeah, I mean, the last time the Bills faced the Dolphins, Allen had over 21 fantasy points. John Brown had nearly 20 fantasy points. So both of those guys are going to be in my starting lineup. Last week, we were all a little bit disappointed in Devin Singletary's production, but I would still play him this week, even if he's a flex. Matchup against Miami. Now, the one thing that could put a bit of a monkey wrench into that is Frank Gore is also playing.
Game.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, players are all over the league these days, so there's so many revenge games. We have a few more on the docket this week as well. But I think Singletary is a good play.
Oh, he's an amazing play. Yeah. Going back real quick to Gore, really, the only revenge game he has is the Niners, right? I mean, that's the only team that mattered.
I know,
but in his career, I guess.
I get it. I mean, but he still played for, you know.
Singletary is an awesome play this week, you guys. Yep. He's played over 2/3 of the team's snaps now in 3 straight games. Frustratingly, only got 8 carries last week, but I think he's going to get way more this week against Miami.
Yeah, Bills defense, obviously a good play, because we pick on the Dolphins every week, and typically it works out pretty well. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, unless you believe in the revenge narrative, you fade him. Kalen Ballage, I mean, dude, 24 touches last week, and I mean, I almost had as many yards as him, and I didn't play football.
No.
It was brutally bad. Yeah. The matchup, I mean, it's not actually an awful matchup, but unless you're desperate.
No, it's a good matchup. This Bills run defense is really starting to slide over the last couple weeks.
Kalen Ballage.
I said it last week. I have no confidence clicking his name into a fantasy lineup. And it's the same thing this week. Look, he's going to play like 75% of the snaps. He's going to probably see 15 to 20 touches.
Yep.
And the matchup is great. The Dolphins are at home. It's just,
What about
you've got to have some either inside knowledge that we don't have.
Yeah.
Or a crystal ball that we don't have.
What about Devontae against Tredavious this week? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Fade.
Not for me.
Mike Gesicki getting more targets. Don't love him this week. But again, yeah,
Bills have been really good against tight ends now for 2 straight years. I think Gesicki's a fade.
Yeah. Moving on. This is going to be a fun game, guys. Okay. Texans, Ravens. Deshaun Watson.
This is the game of the week right
Lamar
here.
Lamar Jackson. Oh, yes. All right. This is going to be a lot of fun, folks. I'm going to be tuning into this one. No question about that. Who gets the better of who in this game between the two quarterbacks?
Lamar.
So good.
Yeah. Lamar. You know, this is a huge spot. For fantasy, I'm fully expecting this game to shoot out and go off. I will say Marquise Brown, man, he had a great game this past week. Went for 4 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. That touchdown he had from Lamar was just a gorgeous, gorgeous throw by Lamar. But he was downgraded
in practice yesterday
with an ankle injury. We'll have to see what his involvement is in practice today. If he were out there and he were healthy,
must start.
I would love to really play him because the Texans just keep getting flamed by these quick, fast boundary guys, and Brown would smoke them.
Yep.
But he has just not been healthy all year long. Yep. So if you're counting on Brown this weekend, make sure you check his injury status either today or Sunday morning because he's likely trending towards a game time.
Yeah, Will Fuller got in a limited practice with the hamstring on Thursday. Keep tabs on his status as well. He will obviously affect what you do with Kenny Stills if you're planning on playing him this week. So there are a few wide receiver injuries there in this contest. Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson. Baltimore's been tough against the run at home this season. Do you trust either one of those two guys?
You know, I think with few teams out on a bye this week, I think Hyde is probably going to be in some lineups as an RB2, but he has been such a dependent player, such a game script dependent player in this offense. I mean, basically when the Texans have won, he's had over 20 carries, I think, in 5 of their 6 wins this season. But when they lose, he's been down around like 11 or 12 carries per game, and it's Duke Johnson that's taking most of the work. So Ravens are at home. They're favored here. I have to play Hyde in a few spots. I know in a few leagues that I have him in just because my running backs are weak and I'm dealing with injuries or whatever. Yep. So he's going to be in some lineups this weekend, but I'm very cautious of his expectation this week. And I actually think Duke Johnson could have a decent game here, especially if the game script goes how it's projected.
Yeah, Mark Ingram, after a ridiculously hot start, has been very mediocre lately. Got into the end zone last week, but only had 9 points. Of course, it was a blowout.
It's hard when Lamar Jackson is so damn good and running for over 100 yards every week.
Well, here's the crazy thing. I mean, his best game since week 7 came against the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
Which is odd. I mean, he has had single-digit points in 2 of his last 3 games. Obviously, he's still a guy you're playing because, you know, Greg Roman's going to run the ball and run it some more. And once you get down inside the 5-yard line,
that's his guy.
Ingram's going to be the guy there. So you keep him in your lineup. Obviously, Mark Andrews is a play. If you're looking for a streaming tight end, Darren Fells do it for you this week or no?
That's how I feel about every streaming.
I think is the answer.
I think my favorite, we'll get to my favorite streaming tight end here in a few games, but okay. I don't know, man. It's one of those things where Jordan Thomas is still involved. You know, Fells had that 1 catch for 1 yard performance, and he got in the end zone. I think there's a better play this week, and we'll get to it.
All right, Broncos, Vikings.
Hey, this is it.
Injuries, what are we looking at?
Not many. Adam Thielen is going to miss this game. Yep. Not surprising with that hamstring injury that he kind of re-aggravated a few weeks ago.
Which means good news for Kyle. The red nose reindeer. Yeah,
our boy.
Rudolph.
Look.
Yeah. With my Cowboys last week, what a hell of a catch in the end zone.
That was an amazing catch. But at the same time, he's still not being super, super targeted. I mean, he's just been around 5 or 6 targets basically in every single game. He needs to get into the end zone to pay off because he's been below 25 yards receivings in all but 2 games this year. So he's been held below 25 yards in 8 of 10 games this season. So Rudolph has to get in the end zone, but he's obviously got a good chance this week.
He's been doing it. I mean, he's got 4 touchdowns the last 4 games.
Right. He's got a good chance to provide some streaming value this week because you mentioned Thielen is out. But my favorite streamer in this play, in this game, is Noah Fant.
There you go.
He's been targeted in 27% of the Broncos plays over the last 2 weeks, over the last 2 games without Emmanuel Sanders. And this Vikings team has sneakishly given up the 3rd most receptions per game to opposing tight ends. So if you need a tight end this week, Fan is likely out there in a lot of league waiver wires. And if you're missing George Kittle or Austin Hooper, I think Fan is a great streamer play if you're in need.
Mm-hmm. I think the one downside there is that I don't believe the Vikings have given up a touchdown.
They haven't.
to a tight end this season.
And I think that's just naturally because they're not giving up a lot of red zone drives, and I don't fully expect this Broncos team to get a lot of, get into the red zone very often here in the spot, especially on the road in Minnesota.
Yep.
But I think Fant will probably get around 8 to 9 targets here.
Yeah, I mean if you get if you get 10 to 12 points from him,
exactly. You know, if you're looking, get 7 points from Noah,
you're looking pretty good.
You're
looking pretty good. And yeah, as you mentioned, it's 6.4 catches per game allowed to tight ends by the Vikings. So we'll stick with the Vikings theme. And I mean, obviously, you're starting Dalvin Cook. You're starting the Vikings defense this week. This is Brandon Allen's first NFL start on the road. But Kirk Cousins and Stephon Diggs come with major risk this week. In fact, if I have Kirk Cousins and Kyle Allen is floating around on the waiver wire, I may be making that switch. Why? Because this Broncos defense, for as bad as it's been against the run, is nasty freaking good against quarterbacks. In fact, they're giving up right around 10 points per game to quarterbacks on the road. Okay?
They've been really good.
Really good. And as good as Kirk Cousins has been, and maybe I'll be completely wrong about this, but we all just look at the numbers, guys. And the numbers say Kirk Cousins is a fade this week. Stephon Diggs, Chris Harris.
Yeah.
Okay? Not saying you have to sit Stephon Diggs.
Diggs is going to get, he is going to get the shadow treatment from Chris Harris.
Yes. And
I've been on this train all year. Chris Harris is playing lights out as this kind of new shadow corner that the Broncos are using. Chris Harris previously just basically played out of the slot for Denver.
Yep.
And now he's shadowing with number one receivers. And if you take out Diggs in this offense with no Adam Thielen, you're going to be forcing Kirk Cousins to beat you with BC Johnson and Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith underneath.
Yep.
I'm with you. I'm very, very cautious. I'd be very cautious about Kirk Cousins this week. And, the thing with Diggs is, who are you on your team? Who are you realistically starting over him in your flex spot? You know, because Diggs is going to probably get, he's going to get a bunch of the volume this week unless Chris Harris completely shuts
Diggs,
it down.
Diggs, though, so here's the thing.
But, would you start Diggs or Golladay?
I'd start Diggs.
Yeah.
But that's because of the quarterback.
Right.
Like Joe Mixon might be a different story.
Right.
Right. Tevin Coleman might be a different story. Diggs has been all or nothing since the middle of the season.
He's been all or nothing all year,
since basically week 5.
Yeah.
He in his last 6 games, he has had fewer than 8 points 3 times.
We're going to look back at Stephon Diggs' season this year and just be like, what the hell happened? He's had some monster Stephon Diggs games, he's just disappeared at times.
This one is not as easy as plugging and playing Stephon Diggs. I can promise you that. Going to the Broncos side of things, the Vikings are giving up the 5th fewest fantasy points to running backs this season.
Mm-hmm.
I have Philip Lindsay in a couple of leagues. I'm going to play him. I would not play Royce Freeman. Lindsay is more of the home run hitter, a guy who could potentially knock out a bad matchup with one big run. But Freeman is a fade for me.
Yeah, I agree. I would leave Freeman on benches. That's the same read I have. I play Lindsay as an RB2 and then fade Freeman.
Cortland Sutton's a great play this week. If you look at the numbers, Xavier Rhodes has been getting gashed all season long. The Vikings have given up, I believe, the 2nd most fantasy points to receivers lined out wide, which is where Sutton's running over 80% of his routes. And even with Brandon Allen at quarterback, I would still play him. Sutton made one of the great catches of the season in their last game where he literally, the dude floated.
Yeah.
Okay, floated.
He's so good.
And made the catch over a defender. It was ridiculous. So Cortland Sutton, even with Brandon Allen, a nice play this week in the matchups. Great. Just saw something breaking that Myles Garrett has been suspended indefinitely and Pouncey 3 games.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. We'll find out more about that. But yeah. Garrett has been suspended without pay indefinitely at a minimum for the remainder of the regular season and postseason. He must meet with the commissioner's office prior to a decision on his reinstatement. He was also fined an additional amount. Garrett violated unnecessary roughness and unsportsmanlike conduct rules, as well as fighting, removing the helmet of an opponent, and using the helmet as a weapon. So the NFL is not taking this lightly, nor should they. And you probably won't see Myles Garrett for the rest of this season. That's not good for the Browns defense, but it's the right thing to do because last night's violation of Mason Rudolph, let's put it that way, that was an assault, was an embarrassment to the National Football League, the Shield, and this great game that we all love. Moving on, Jets and Redskins, they're going to play it. And there actually is some decent fantasy options in this game. Like, not too many.
Yeah.
But there's a few. First, the injuries. We know Chris Herndon's on IR.
Right.
That dude came and went quickly like that. Like that. Is it a meme or the gif of like of the gif of like Homer Simpson coming out of the bushes and then going back into the bushes?
Yeah.
That's Chris Herndon. So suddenly Ryan Griffin back on your radar, and the Jets have the 10th easiest schedule remaining at the tight end position, so he could be a potential streamer this week. Any other injuries we got? I know Le'Veon Bell's been limited this week.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell's been limited every single week at this point. He's just battling through some injuries and battling through a bad team and battling through dealing with Adam Gase every single week, so I feel for you, Lev. But hey, we're going to get Darius Geis back this week, it looks like. I think Bill Callahan will probably rotate Peterson and Geis through their lineup. Chris Thompson is still out with a turf toe injury. I'm not expecting him to play. But Callahan is basically going to rotate these two guys between Geis and Peterson. And, you know, I don't think you can start either of them in any fantasy lineup this weekend, but I am excited to see Geis on the field because he was one of my favorite players coming out. And
I love him.
Yeah, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy.
He's a friend of mine. He's excited about coming back. He feels good. And Callahan had said that there is a rotational system in place. Chris Thompson is still out, so Darius could end up seeing more targets in the passing game. Maybe a Kareem Hunt kind of role,
That's sort of interesting, right? Is like Dwayne Haskins desperately needs someone to check down to. And Darius Geis wasn't used much as a receiver at LSU, but I don't think that's necessarily something that's out of his purview. I think Geis, you just need to get the ball in his hands and let him make plays in space because he's that explosive. So excited to see what he's doing. Excited to see what he can do now that he's back fully healthy.
Yep. So Darius, I feel like, is a sleeper. I mean, you could do worse at flex, even though the matchup is not all that great. So Sam Darnold, don't trust him. Can't trust him. Don't care who he's playing. I'm 2 QB League Superflex League. I think he's limited to that. But Jamison Crowder in a
revenge game. I'm just growling. I'm not even saying revenge.
I know. It's just a growl, but it sounds cool. Jamison Crowder, who has given you 19-plus points in 2 straight games. He is the target machine in that men in green offense. So Crowder is a very nice play this week, and he's still available in like 50% of leagues on NFL.com. So I don't know if people just quit or they're sleeping. I don't know why, but he should be added and started. Demaryius Thomas is now a better fantasy option.
Oh,
Robbie
God.
Anderson.
I know.
What offense, which is crazy.
Man, Robbie Anderson is just melted down for him this year. You know, he has two gorgeous matchups back to back against the Dolphins, against the Giants. Goes 2 for 33 and 1 for 11. Saw 7 targets. It's over. It's over.
Let me ask you a question. Jets defense.
Yeah.
Looked good. 19 points last week. Okay.
I'm into it.
It's still the Jets.
I'm into it.
But they're playing Dwayne Haskins.
Look, Greg Williams is going to fire at will at Dwayne Haskins.
Yes.
He's going to blitz the living hell out of Dwayne Haskins this week.
Yep.
If we know anything about Greg Williams. Look, in his limited starts this year, Dwayne Haskins has not looked ready. And look, I think a little bit is probably just the matchups, because Haskins has definitely not gotten off to very, you know, very easy draws. I mean, he threw a little bit against the Giants, but he, you know, played against the Vikings and Bills, all these games on the road. But in, you know, 100 snaps this year, Haskins has like, what, he's taken 8 sacks already. He's thrown 4 picks. I don't have much confidence in him, and I don't have any confidence in Terry McLaurin.
This
matchup is amazing.
The Jets have given up the 5th most fantasy points to receivers lined out wide, which is where McLaurin basically runs most of his routes. Overall, they've given up almost 43 points per game to wide receivers. So Dwayne Haskins is so bad that you would put McLaurin on the bench because his quarterback can't get the job done even against the Jets.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It's sad. Let's go back to our Diggs conversation. Do you play Diggs or McLaurin?
Right. No, Diggs.
Yeah.
I think No. I get it. I mean,
you know, it's a tough one.
This
week is weird because...
And these guys were teammates in college.
This week is weird because there's like 15 really good receiver plays that I love. And then you get into Stephon Diggs, you get into Kenny Galladay, you get into A-Rob. It's just like they're kind of all the same. It's just...
Yeah.
It's a really weird week at the receiver position, in my opinion.
Redskins defense also streamable because Sam Darnold is not adverse to turning the ball over this season. Moving on, Saints at Buccaneers. Injuries in this one, we're looking at...
Yeah, now I get to make my Saints note that I was trying to make earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore might not play this week.
And that's big for Mike Evans.
Huge, because Lattimore is one of the only cornerbacks in the NFL that's been able to slow down Mike Evans in his career. Lattimore's dealing with a hamstring injury, and those tend to linger. So I'm not expecting him to play, barring a surprise on Friday. And that's just huge, right? That's just absolutely huge for both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. The Saints are going to be really banged up going into this one. I'm not entirely sure what they're going to do out wide to try to cover both Evans and Godwin, right? Because, like, typically what we see the Saints do is they'll play P.J. Williams out of the slot, and that's where Chris Godwin's at. And now they're going to have to try to basically reverse engineer this cornerback tandem here without Lattimore. Regardless, this is just a huge spot for Evans and Godwin to just go completely nuts against the Saints.
Yeah, hopefully this could be a week where maybe Alvin Kamara does something for us. I mean, like, you know, outside of PPR leagues, which is, you know, predominantly what people are playing them, he's been really, really mediocre. And even in PPR leagues,
you know,
he has not been worth a top three pick so far this season.
Sure, he's definitely not been worth a top three pick. I'll grant you that. Probably not even worth a top 10 pick in leagues, but he's been over double-digit fantasy points in all but one game this year. He's just basically not scored. I think that's been the biggest thing. And that last week, the Saints basically just restored him in the bell cow role. Now, granted, their run-pass ratio got a little bit jacked up last week. Kamara only had 4 carries, and I think Murray only had 5.
Yeah.
But Kamara played nearly 80% of the team's snaps, was on the field for basically all of Drew Brees' dropbacks, got 10 targets. I'm fully expecting
it. And that's the reason why a lot of people were talking about how, like, Latavius Murray could play the Mark Ingram role. We haven't seen it, guys.
No, we haven't.
We haven't seen it. And I mean, I had a team where I had to drop him because I have buys, like, killing me. I have Packers all over the place.
No, that's fair.
Killed, so I had to drop him. So here's the, we talked about this on the podcast with Jeff Ratcliffe earlier in the week. And I am not number, I don't tweet me, okay, and tell you.
Don't at me, bro.
And don't come and say I told you to sit Drew Brees, okay? Don't do it. I am just, I have Drew Brees in one league out of my 12, and I'm playing him this week, okay? I'm playing him. I have Kyler Murray. I'm going to play him over Kyler Murray. Drew Brees, and we have seen this time and time again, okay, has sucked in outdoor road games, all right? Last week, he played Atlanta, 11 points at home, coming off a bye, all right? Brees has scored fewer than 14 or fewer fantasy points in 4 of his last 5 games in Tampa Bay. He's averaged just 12.4 fantasy points in road games in Tampa Bay since 2014. In his last 20 road games outdoors, he's averaging 15 fantasy points. Okay? I'm just saying, the matchup is great. It's great. It was great last week at home. I'm just saying that if Brees bombs this week, Let's look at these trends a little more closely. I had this with Philip Rivers last week, and I said, listen, it's a good matchup, so you probably have to play him, but historically he's not good in Oakland, and he was terrible.
I'm going to put this on wax.
I'm just saying, let's have fun with it. Let's have fun with it. Next week, I can come on here and say Brees had 30 points, and hey, I looked at the trend. I still started Brees, but I like to take these things into consideration. I like the historical data and the trends and stuff like that.
I think Brees is going to go nuts this week.
Okay,
I think he's going to put up like 350.
I hope so.
You can't. It's this Saints team this past week. They lost Andrews Pete, right? And their offensive line is the lifeblood of this team. They tick on their offensive line. And this Bucs run defense all year long has been just amazing at stopping the run. So that's going to funnel all of their action towards the pass. Mm-hmm. And these Bucs cornerbacks have no chance at stopping Michael Thomas, stopping Ted Ginn deep. They'll get Jared Cook involved.
Yeah,
we love Kamara as a receiver, obviously. Yeah,
Jared Cook's good.
I'm expecting very good things from this.
On the other side, I mean, well, Saints defense is also playable because Jameis is, you never know when he's going to implode. But you're starting Ronald Jones. You're starting Evans and Godwin. Obviously, O.J. Howard is a fade. That was a one-week anomaly because he played the Cardinals. So don't think that he's going to continue to do that. Now, when you look at the numbers recently, you look at the Saints against quarterbacks and think, well, I mean, the first 3 games, they got wrecked. And then they've been pretty tough. But you mentioned Marshawn Lattimore's banged up. New Orleans is also allowing 5 more fantasy points to quarterbacks on the road as opposed to home. So Jameis Winston is a go for me in this contest. Moving on. A rematch of a game that happened a couple of weeks ago. Cardinals at 49ers. What are we looking at for injuries? I know Matt Breida is banged up.
Yeah, Matt Breida is banged up. The whole 40, basically the 49ers, man.
George Kittle,
real banged
unlikely
up.
To play.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders, we don't know. And it's a later game because it's on a West Coast. So unless you have Debo,
unless
we find out that Sanders is playing like today,
If I had a bet, I think Manny plays, but I have no inside information. Really just don't have any information outside of just reading the tea leaves. Sanders was sidelined both Wednesday and Thursday, did not get a practice. And we'll see if he gets practice in on Friday. And if he does, that would put him on track to play.
Yep.
The Niners need him. They absolutely 100% yep. need this game, man. They're going to be down to like Kendrick Bourne and Dante Pettis. I mean, Bourne and Pettis have just really fallen off, especially Pettis this year.
Yep.
He's just not the same player that we saw in his rookie season.
Yeah.
They're going to start Ross Dwelly in place of George Kittle. So if you're just absolutely desperate, you don't have, you know, Kyle Rudolph or Noah Fant out on your waiver wire.
Yep.
Ross Dwelly is not the worst Hail Mary play because obviously we want to start any tight end with any tight end with a pulse against the Cardinals is playable. Outside of that, man, like it's Tevin Coleman in this game, and I'm fully expecting Coleman to have a great game without Matt Breida.
With Kittle unlikely to play this week. Right now, I have Jimmy Garoppolo as a stardom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was the QB2 last time he played Arizona. He had 4 touchdown passes. If the Niners are without Sanders, also.
Yeah, I don't think you can play Garoppolo with much confidence. I'd play Kyle Allen over him.
I don't love Garoppolo.
I'd play Allen over him.
Okay, I don't love him.
Right,
so I'm just saying, and it's a later game, guys, so I get it. Fantasy football's tough. Find out what happens with the practices today, and obviously we're early here, so we're not going to be able to get any of that, but if Sanders doesn't play, doesn't practice and doesn't play, Kittle doesn't practice and doesn't play, which we expect, Garoppolo's value takes a hit. Tevin Coleman is a very good play this week, although he struggled the last couple of weeks from a fantasy perspective, but again, no Matt Breida, so he is in play as an RB2. Now, when you look at Kyler Murray and Kenyon Drake a couple of weeks ago and think, wow, I mean, I got to play these guys. Not necessarily. Kyler Murray was held to fewer than 2 points in the first half, and he had an 88-yard touchdown to Andy Isabella, where Isabella did most of the work, okay? Do the math. 1 point for the catch, another 8.8 for the yards, and 6 for the touchdown, 4 for the touchdown. So, that's a lot of points on that one play.
I'm with you on Kyler.
For Isabella and for Kyler Murray.
I'm with you on Kyler, but I really actually kind of like Kenyon Drake this week. David Johnson is not right.
He looks like an old man out there. I mean, Jason Witten would have beaten him in a foot race, it seemed like. He had a piano on his back.
Yeah, DJ, we need you to get healthy, man, because we love you when you're healthy. But look, he's not right. He's dealing with those ankle and back injuries. I like Kenyon Drake quite a bit because what Cliff Kingsbury did the last time we saw this matchup on that Thursday night game, it was a short week, but he spread the Niners out.
Mm-hmm.
You can spread this team out and run against them. And the Niners haven't necessarily, they've been very good against the pass, but they haven't been very, very good against the run in a while. So I think Kenyon Drake can be okay here in this game.
Christian Kirk is a fade for me if you have depth. I get it. He had 3 touchdowns. He's not playing the Buccaneers again. A couple of weeks ago, 8 yards through the air, 16 yards total. It is a different situation here. You are in San Francisco against a team that just lost on national television. They are going to be geared up.
And this San Francisco team is giving up the fewest PPR points per game to slot receivers this year. Like, they're even, like, this team is better than the Bills. They're better than the Patriots. They're better than the Broncos out of the slot.
So,
like,
Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald, both fades.
Yeah, especially Fitz.
Yeah. Fitz, I mean, it took the Buccaneers for him to come back and have a big game, and he's really struggled in recent weeks before that, so he is certainly a fade, and Andy Isabella is not going for 88 and a touchdown again, guys, so get that out of your minds. Bengals at Raiders, we just heard from Zach Taylor that AJ Green is not playing again. Okay.
Shocker.
Who is more likely to sign him in the offseason? Like, is he ended up, he's going to either end up in New England.
He's going to be a Patriot.
Or the Raiders. Either one of those two.
We all know what the inevitable is. In 2020, AJ Green's going to be a Patriot. So I don't think AJ Green's going to play this year. Why would he?
I don't know. I'm right there with you. I'd be pushing to not play. Let's put it that way. Man, I'm still hurting, guys. I can't, you know what? Because then you get a full season off, you get a full offseason, you get healthy, and then you cash in.
Yeah, totally agree.
Ryan Finley's going to make his second start for the Bengals, which means good thing for Joe Mixon. Now, last week was very strange because we talk about game script a lot as it pertains to fantasy football. Now, last week, they were getting smoked by the Ravens, and game script would have...
they didn't even care.
Would have made Ryan Finley throw the ball about 50 times.
Yeah,
instead,
they
ran the ball 54% of the time, and Mixon had 30 carries.
He did.
So if Zach Taylor wants to do that, God bless you, bro. I love it. I don't care about your passing game. Give the ball to Joe Mixon. The matchup is good. The Raiders have struggled against running backs over the last month. So Mixon's in play as an RB2 now.
Yeah, I will say Gio Bernard got hurt in that game, so maybe it definitely helped that Mixon Mixon got the huge bell cow role, played a season-high 75% of snaps. Yeah. I think that'll come down this week with Bernard back. But yeah, it's pretty hilarious. The Bengals are just getting smashed. They don't even care.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what they should do.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to come, if you're intentionally trying to lose And the Bengals have the inside track on the number one pick, mm-hmm. and perhaps Joe Burrow or whomever they decide to choose at number one. Yeah. Yep. Keep running the ball. Keep running the ball while you're down 15.
Love it. I love it. I love the matchup. Joe Mixon's a play. Ryan, what about Tyler Boyd this week? Mm. He's starting to fade down. He's starting to fade. You know, you got the rookie quarterback under center. The numbers were not great last week. You know,
it's PPR only at this point. He's going to catch 5 or 6 balls. And at this point, you just have to hope he gets into the end zone.
Yep.
It is his birthday, by the way. So happy birthday, Tyler.
Happy birthday, pal. The Pitt product. Auden Tate. I'm fading him. I can't do it. Not with that quarterback under center. Drake Kirkpatrick just put on injured reserve, by the way. So that's another little bit of breaking news here for the Bengals, which is good news for the Raiders. And Derek Carr, who has given you 19-plus points in 2 of his last 3 games. Quarterbacks facing the Bengals have averaged 107 passer rating and more than 23 fantasy points per game.
You want to know
something? So Derek Carr is a nice play. Tyrell Williams is a nice play. Josh Jacobs is a must start.
You know what, I know something wild? Mm. This Raiders team is implied to score 30 points based on the over-under in this game in Vegas. They have the highest team total on the slate. They have a higher team total than the Chiefs, than the Saints, than the Ravens, than the Niners. It's wild, man. Vegas is all in on the Raiders this week, and for good reason. The Bengals they stink. And John Gruden, for what it's worth, I think he's done a masterful job with his offense. Derek Carr is having his best year of the season, best year of his career, even though Carr keeps missing throws.
Yeah.
He's been very efficient. And Josh Jacobs, man, he's going to lose his mind this week.
Yeah,
right?
Lose his mind. Hunter Renfrow is a nice sort of deep sleeper type. The Bengals are giving up the 5th most fantasy points in the slot. Yeah. So he's a good play. Hopefully Darren Waller gets back to being what he was earlier in the season, because lately he has
great. The targets haven't been there because this Raiders team, they're just so content, you know, letting Carr throw it 30 to 35 times per game. And Josh Jacobs is going to get a bunch of looks. Waller has just 7 targets over the past 2 games.
Yeah, that's not good. Raiders defense, we don't say that very often. Very good streamer.
Yeah, they're in
very
play.
Good streamer.
Absolutely in play.
Against the rookie quarterback. All right, Patriots at Eagles. And there's some injuries in this game that is going to make the Patriots defense look super, super good.
Man.
That they need it.
The Eagles are really banged up for this game. I wish they were fully healthy, because this would have been a fantastic game. We obviously know DeSean Jackson's on IR, but the team is also going to be without Alshon Jeffrey, most likely.
Did not practice today.
Barring a surprise.
And Jordan Howard limited in practice today.
Right. You know, they're going to be without Alshon. Jordan Howard apparently had a stinger in their last game, and he hasn't practiced all week, so they also put Darren Sproles on IR this morning.
And they worked out Jay Ajayi.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Jay Ajayi is trying to get back in the league here. I think that's his second workout. I think he worked
back
out
with the
Cardinals.
Eagles. Yeah. So, I mean, like, look, if that happens, then you really have to be concerned with Jordan Howard.
You know, I think outside of Ertz and Sanders, just because Sanders is going to play almost every single snap without Jordan Howard and Darren Sproles here this week.
Play, yeah.
I outside of Ertz and Sanders, really, there's much on the Eagles side that,
Wentz.
You can play. Yeah, you can't play Wentz.
Now, the Patriots is a different story.
I will say this.
The Eagles are much tougher at home than they are on the road. Okay, so I'm not going and telling you that Tom Brady is going to put up 30. Okay, but he's still a top 10 play this week. James White is always going to be a guy who's going to give you double-digit fantasy points because of his skills as a pass catcher. Now, Sony Michel is a fade this week for me. Why? Okay, I've been talking about this for weeks. Now, the Patriots are coming off a bye. Remember that. So Rex Burkhead's probably going to be active, unless he's a healthy scratch. Now, when Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead have both been active, Sony Michel is averaging 7 points a game. When Burkhead's been out, he's averaging 17 points per game. And I would expect Burkhead to play this week. So that means Sony Michel, well, if you look at the trend, it's not good. And the Eagles are giving up right around 50 yards per game. The running backs on the ground at the link. So everything points to Sony Michel having an absolute stinker this week. Julian Edelman, obviously you're going to play him. Patriots defense, obviously you're going to play him. I like Mohamed Sanu in this one as well. The Eagles have struggled against receivers lined out wide. Now, when Sanu was in Atlanta, he predominantly was a slot guy. His first couple of games in New England, 50% of his routes on the outside. So Sanu is a very good play, and we talked about this, guys. When they made that trade for him, he was going to be a red zone threat for Tom Brady, and I think that's going to continue, Graham.
Agreed. I think Sanu's a good play. Edelman is obviously always, he's always going to, you're going to start him in PPR leagues every single week.
Yep.
You know, the thing with Sony Michel is, like, if he doesn't score, Fabs, like it's he's just basically
he doesn't give you anything
fantasy.
In the passing game.
It's just nothing.
No, I know.
It's his role is just so tied to touchdowns in this offense. And granted, any given week he can have two touchdowns. So
yep.
There's going to be some weeks where he goes off on your bench. But man, like if you're going by the process, it's really hard to play Sony Michel in any fantasy leagues right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Bears at Rams. Last year, this was the game where the Rams got exposed a little bit. Remember, the Bears were just that defense was sick. That was the Soldier Field, if memory serves me. Now
it was
this game. Could end up being a huge suck fest, okay? Both of these quarterbacks are playing terribly right now. Mitchell Trubisky, coming off a big game. He played the Lions, okay? Don't at me with that. He played the Lions. He's been bad most of the season. Jared Goff, I don't know who this kid was last year. It's not the same player. It's not the same guy. Same uniform, same number. It's not the same guy. And I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole against the Bears, even at home. And you also got to look at some injuries in this game, okay? David Montgomery didn't practice on Thursday. That's big. Keep tabs on his status for Friday. If he doesn't practice on Friday, I mean, remember, Mike Davis is no longer there. You could be looking at a lot of potential options for Tariq Cohen. So watch Montgomery's status. Yeah, I know. Allen Robinson is going to get the Jalen Ramsey treatment. So I don't know that you can trust him. Unless you're going to trust Taylor Gabriel, which I wouldn't. The Bears' defense, that's a play for Chicago because Jared Goff is turning the ball over a lot. But honestly, on the Chicago side, Graham, there's not a lot to like this week.
Yeah, it's the same thing every week at this point. I mean, I think I would be surprised if David Montgomery doesn't play. I think Matt Nagy yesterday said he just rolled his ankle. And they're probably just being really precautious with him because
even still, if he plays, I mean, he's no more than a flex.
Yeah, they desperately need him, obviously, in this matchup.
Yep.
Because you mentioned Mike Davis is gone now. You know, A-Rob is so damn good, and I so desperately want to see him play with a good quarterback.
I love him.
But, man, can we get him at some point, can we just as a community get together and somehow crowdsource a way to get Allen Robinson a good quarterback? He's going to get Ramsey this week. I'm fully expecting Ramsey to travel with Allen Robinson all over the field, both in the slot and out wide, because that's really the only option the Bears have in this passing game. And A-Rob is good enough to beat Ramsey for a few plays, but yeah, it's one of those things where you're most likely starting him and just hoping that he beats Ramsey once or twice and gets into the end zone, hopefully.
So on the Rams side, Goff, no thank you. Don't want it. Bears are tough against quarterbacks, giving up about 15 per game. That's not going to cut it. He is going to probably have more turnovers than touchdowns. Cooper Kupp is a play because he's Cooper Kupp, even though he did nothing last week. Now, Robert Woods is one of those guys that falls into the category of you probably got to play him. You don't have to like it. He had a nice stat line last week, but now he's playing the Bears. They've allowed 2 touchdowns and 20 points per game. The receivers lined out wide. With Brandon Cooks out of action last week, Woods was out wide 80% of his offensive snaps. So this is one of those games where if you can fade Robert Woods, I would absolutely do it. Gerald Everett, though, is in play because he's consistently getting targets. He's been reliable for fantasy owners, and the Bears have not been great against tight ends. The Rams defense is in play here as well because Trubisky likes to turn the ball over. Now we're going to talk about that big elephant in the room, Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
I don't know what Sean McVay is doing, and I am just a lowly fantasy analyst, okay? I never played football, obviously. I wouldn't even be big enough to be the water boy for the kicker. So I don't get why in the last 16 minutes of last week's game in Pittsburgh, which was very close, Graham, Todd Gurley did not touch the ball once.
Well, the Rams offensive line is all sorts of banged up here.
Be creative. Get Gurley the ball in space, okay? Do something.
I hear you.
He's healthy.
I don't think he is.
He's healthy. I am telling you, he is healthy. I know for a fact he is healthy.
Right, for Gurley's, like, sure, he's not. His knee isn't falling off, but his explosiveness is just there anymore. It's not there. And I hear you. I mean, you would think they want to get Gurley out in space. They want to get him involved in the passing game, but it's just
they're not.
It's not there. The Gurley's explosiveness
is not there.
Is
McVay so stubborn that he won't?
I don't think it's stubbornness. I'm really telling you, he is very hamstrung right now because this offensive line is disintegrating. They dealt with more injuries this past week.
They've got a couple more injuries, So, the Bears
have been bad. Goff is regressing.
The Bears have been bad against running backs this year, though. So, is Gurley on your radar? I mean, he's got to be, right? RB2? No?
Yeah, he's an RB2, and you just hope he scores a touchdown. I'd play Joe Mixon over him this week if you had a 1v1.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, I'd play Mixon over him. I'd play James White over him. I play maybe even Phil Lindsay over him.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, Lindsay's in a tougher matchup.
It's close.
It's close. I mean, that's where we're at with Gurley. It's just disappointing. There's no receiving juice anymore because he's so limited.
I can't wait to see Todd Gurley.
It sucks because Gurley
play somewhere else and get the ball.
But here's the thing. This was somewhat predictable because Gurley has had over 1,000 touches in 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was only going to happen that he would fall apart. I mean, and I feel terrible for him because Gurley is a superstar player, superstar athlete.
But
was
again, the
one of the best players in the NFL for multiple years, and he's just it's not happening for him this year.
The people I talk to and some of these people know Todd like intimately tell me he's healthy. And he hasn't been this healthy in a November in a few years. So, I don't know. You got to play him. You don't have to like it, I guess. It's just that's been a lousy situation. Last game, Monday night in Mexico City. Chiefs, Chargers. What are we looking at for the injuries?
Not much, man. And not much. The Chargers are usually one of the most banged up teams, but they're actually looking pretty good for this game. I really like basically both sides. I mean, Mahomes is right. That always juices up the opposing side's play volume. And I think we can kind of pretty much get everybody into our lineup this week outside of like some of the obvious guys. Like, you're not going to play McCoy and Watkins, but everybody else, like Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry's a fantastic play. I think really the only tough call I have in this game is Mike Williams, because the Chiefs have done a really good job.
I'm not into Mike Williams.
Yeah, the Chiefs have done a really good job all year limiting boundary receivers. They're actually giving up the second fewest fantasy points per game to opposing receivers aligned out wide. Only the Patriots have been better this year, and Mike Williams is consistently outside. So I think they'll probably try to keep him under wraps. I think this is a bigger game for Keenan Allen against these Chiefs slot corners. They don't really have a chance to cover him. Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler.
Both good plays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're both good plays.
Yeah, yeah. But what about Rivers? Rivers has been bad.
Mm.
I mean, like, even against good matchups, he's been bad.
Mm-hmm.
This one on paper is a good matchup. What do you think?
You know, he would have had a much better fantasy game 2 weeks ago had he not turned the ball over a bunch. Because I know that's always the caveat, of course, when you have a bad game. But Rivers and the Chargers were moving the ball very well against the Raiders. I know the Raiders had a couple big sacks, and they did a good job picking and undercutting some of Rivers' throws. But they moved the ball pretty well against the Raiders, and I think they're going to move the ball pretty well in a game that they're going to be trailing most likely against the Chiefs. I think Rivers is kind of... I think he's right on that back end QB1 fringe. Like, could you start Kyle Allen over him? Because I don't think I could.
I could.
Okay.
I could do it.
Yeah. I really like Kyle Allen a lot this week. That's fair.
But yeah.
It's a good match. It's a great matchup.
I do.
For Allen, for sure.
I do. I do like him this week. And just Rivers, like, I mean, you look at his numbers.
Rivers or Kyler Murray?
Rivers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go with Rivers there. The matchup is just, it's good, but. I mean, let's look at his numbers lately, okay?
They've been bad. They've been bad. We don't have to look because they have
Graham, 14.8 or look, fewer, man, in 4 of his last 5. He hasn't scored more than 11.7 in his last 3 games.
I have a 2 QB dynasty league that I have Rivers and Russell Wilson. I'm 9-1. I'm just smoking.
I'll tell you this.
And Phillip Rivers is my only weak point.
I'll tell you this too. If you're not playing Rivers this week and there's a hot free agent, cut him. He's off next week, and then he's in Denver.
Yeah, good point.
So you will not play Rivers for the next 3 weeks.
Very good point.
So if you don't need him, and there's a guy out there on the waiver wire you want, Phillip Rivers is very, shall we say, cuttable.
Yeah, he is droppable.
Kansas City backfield, LeSean McCoy, the old load management.
I'm not buying that.
Damian Williams.
I'm not buying that.
Since McCoy fumbled a few weeks ago in Green Bay, I believe the stat was Williams has had 116 snaps compared to like 6.
It's been a bit,
McCoy, or 114 to 6.
It's been
something
a big
like that. And the Chargers are not good against the run, so Damian Williams is a play for me. The Chiefs are easy otherwise, as you mentioned. I mean, you're starting the guys you're starting there. So, but I do feel like, I mean, the Chiefs defense could be a play here because Rivers has been a bit erratic. You know, three interceptions in his last game against the Raiders. So, the Chiefs have a lot of great fantasy assets, and especially with Patrick Mahomes back under center. All right, that's all for our week 11 fantasy previews. Now, Graham and I are going to start ending the shows with our bold take of the week.
Say it with your chest.
Bold take of the week.
There you go.
I think that was with my throat. now I'm.
You did the revenge voice.
Yeah, I did. I did that. So, Graham Barfield, the fantasy viper. The lost offspring of Tom Skerritt. Okay. Look him up.
It's a mouthful.
Look him up. Yep. It's, I mean, they could be father and son. What is your bold take of the week?
Bold call of the week is Noah Fant is going to save your fantasy bacon if you need a tight end. I think he's going to finish the week as a top five tight end, and in PPR leagues, I think he's going to probably catch six balls, or he's going to catch six balls for 75 yards in a score. I think he's going to be the first tight end to get a
score against the Vikings.
Get a touchdown against the Vikings.
All right, here's my bold call, and I am still starting Drew Brees this week. Mm-hmm. Okay, but my bold call is that I wouldn't be shocked if he scores 15 or fewer fantasy points because of that trend. I love looking at that stuff, man. I feel like it's just so interesting. Like, I love the historical side of the NFL and sports and fantasy football.
It's definitely within the range of outcomes because the Bucks D-line is really good. Andrews Pete is out, like I mentioned.
I mean, so,
like, I'm
going to start Brees. I have him in my top 10 quarterbacks this week, okay? But I will say that next week, if we come into this podcast and Drew Brees has had 15 or fewer fantasy points, maybe we need to start paying a little bit more attention to the trends rather than the notes and the nuggets and the stats and everything we have right in front of us for the 2019 season, because it happened with Rivers last week. We'll see what happens. All right, guys, that is the show for this week. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Good luck in your fantasy football matchups, and hopefully we'll see you back here on Monday when our pal Marcus Grant rejoins the show. Good luck, everybody.